Today on Real Radio.
But the Bible says that concerning Jesus, it was the most violent thing ever. How so, Jack? How do you get that out of just this one simple verse that Pilate took Jesus and scourged him? Quickly, the cat of nine tails, the Roman cat of nine tails. Now, I don't promote movies because I think movies are not worthy of promotion. But this movie I had to go see because I wanted to see the world the best I could of what Jesus grew up under. And that was Gladiator. And I didn't see Gladiator and watch the Gladiator. I saw Gladiator look behind him to see the world that my Jesus grew up in. And was that not a brutal world? He was born under the iron beast of Rome.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. We'll be looking at the first six verses of chapter 19 as our teacher continues in his sub-series called The Way of the Cross. And the reason we're spending so much time on this topic is because what took place on the Roman cross on that day is not only historically pivotal, but because it was God's way of buying back his people. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
What does it entail for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to be the very one who is qualified to be offered up upon the cross for our sins? Who is he? What does that entail? Jesus Christ will be, listen, Bible student, jot it down. Jesus Christ himself will be the one fulfilling all the Old Testament promises about the sacrificial lamb. This is very important. John chapter 19 introduces us to the preparatory work of the sacrificial Lamb of God. Say, Jack, what are you talking about? The entire Old Testament demands that a lamb be offered up for the forgiveness of our sins. That an innocent lamb, his blood to be shed, would be taken and then put upon the guilty. It's called redemption or atonement. We would say today, forgiveness of sins. And we're going to talk about what all that means. And I tell you, personally, I would love to have a service in a couple of weeks where if we would, and you know, this never happens the way that I would want it to happen, but it would be great if we had services in a couple of weeks when we come through these teachings of atonement to sit down. Well, I mean, you are sitting down, but for us to be here and then have the service be a dialogue. What have you understood these last few weeks? Because this is so critical. The last thing I want is for somebody to walk out of this church thinking, well, I believe in Jesus and you know, I mean, nobody's perfect and all. I'm going to go to heaven. I believe in Jesus. I believe, you know, in this and in that, and take a real casual approach to Jesus. Do you know you could be committing spiritual suicide by doing that? You know that? You've got to know specifically who he is. And you need to be able to define who it is you worship. We live in an age, and quite frankly, I'm very concerned. Everybody's religious right now. Everybody wants to talk about God. I heard on a secular news channel that God is the hottest thing right now in the United States of America. God's the hottest thing right now in all of America. And people who don't know God go, oh, yeah, that's so cool. But people who know God kind of cringe. Because we're hearing people talk about God and they're clumping everybody in the universe in with this God. Isn't God great? And the Christian would go, yeah, he's great. Yes, yes. I was just saying, isn't God great? He embraces the atheist, the agnostic. He accepts the this and the that. He's just one big happy God. He's got no rules. He's got no demands. He's such a convenient God. He's about as whimsical and wimpy as the rest of the world. He doesn't have any lines that people have to color inside of. And, you know, he's whatever you make him out to be. And the world's going, yeah, that's my kind of God. Of course it is. It's an extension of yourself. It's true. Give me a God that I can handle. That's the kind of God I want. I don't want to have a God that says, listen, here's the deal. We live in a funny world. We live in a pathetic age. If somebody mentions God, oh, he's religious. Oh, look, they're praying. Oh, they must be a very holy people. They're praying over there. Well, we'll just keep going. Listen, here's the deal. This is part four of a message entitled The Way to the Cross. And Jesus is teaching us and showing us four things we need to look at in the next 35 minutes. So Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. The first thing that we see in verses 1, 2, and 3 is this. The way of the cross was no place and is no place for an ordinary man. Mark that down in your notes. John chapter 19, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's read it and look at it together. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put him upon him a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they struck him with their hands. First point, the way of the cross is for no ordinary man. Number one, it's Jesus' allotment to go to the cross. Number one, mark it, Jesus was not murdered. This is not a mishap. What Jesus is going through has been predetermined by the counsel and foreknowledge of God himself. Number two, it has to happen. God decreed it before the world was ever formed. Think about it. Before God ever put Jupiter in its spot and the moon in its spot, the earth in its place, he had already determined before he created everything that Jesus Christ would come and die on the cross. You say, why would he do that? Because in his creation, he already knew that you would sin, that I would sin. He knew about our original mom and dad's goof up in the garden. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin, and yet he made us anyway. You say, well, that's a faulty God. No, you need to look deeper than that. Keep searching. That's a God who loves so much that he plans on, in your free moral choice and willing, to go through with the deal, even though you would sin against him, and he, through Christ, would accept you back. It's amazing to me. God is so not human. He had to become a human. That's a big deal. People ask, what's the biggest miracle that was ever done in the world? Personally, that God would become a human being. Okay, I know this sounds sick, but I got a dog. This dog is so godly. My dog, you know what? Never is in a bad mood. Never. Never. You come to my house, my dog will greet you like you're a king. I may know things about you that you may not know, that I know about you. But my dog, if she knows it, she doesn't care anyway. She's going to greet you. I may stand at the door and say, I know you. She'll just go, oh, let him in, let him in, let him in. You know what? My dog is so godly. She loves unconditionally that sometimes I see in that little thing so many attributes that I need to strive to have. And seriously, I'm just, man, I need to be patient. She's sitting there forever with that little bone in front of her. I said, don't do it, don't do it. And she just sits there. And she'll listen to everything I say. Sit down, go outside. I can say, go pee-pee. And she'll go out there and back in the house. Do that to your teenager. Go potty. Go. They'll go, come on, get off my back, leave me alone. It's an amazing thing. Listen, how is it that God can make a dog so godly and obedient? It's easy for me to love my dog. She's obedient, she's godly. She's easy to love. If I were the creator God, I would make people easy to love. I would make them all like dogs. Very predictable, very loving, it'd be a happy world. But God puts inside of us the ability to choose, and everything comes apart. But no, everything also, if given time, which is against evolution in the spirit realm, everything comes back together in the love of Jesus Christ. If you are willing to lay down your religion, to lay down your preconceived notions, and to come to this conclusion, God made me. And that is a fact. That being true, if I'm 16 or 66, what am I to do regarding God? The first thing we see here is that the weight of the cross was no place for just any man. It says here in Scripture that Pilate takes Jesus and he has him scourged. Look with me, verse 1. It's no place for any man because the way of the cross is altogether violent. Violent. Have you been watching international media? Have you seen how crazy violent the Middle East is? It's nuts. People are slapping each other just to slap each other. It's crazy. I was watching these specials like you have, and the lady's veil fell off her face, and they just beat her up, and this one lady's veil fell completely off, and they shot her dead. What a violent world. And yet with all the violence that we're talking about and all of the horrible pain that we have in this world, I've got to back up and take a deep breath and believe God's word when he says that Jesus Christ suffered more violently than anyone else ever. And I personally have seen some gross violence. And it's a hard thing for me to understand. I watched the explosion of the World Trade Towers, and they came down perfectly. And now I'm starting to read about fingernails floating in the sky, coming down, fingernails, and parts of people's bodies. Now I'm reading it because when I saw it on TV, it was, what channel? Maybe this is a movie. But now I'm reading about people's accounts, and it's sinking in. Mayhem, death, carnage, terrible. But the Bible says that concerning Jesus, it was the most violent thing ever. How so, Jack? How do you get that out of just this one simple verse that Pilate took Jesus and scourged him? Quickly, the cat of nine tails, the Roman cat of nine tails. Now, I don't promote movies because I think movies are not worthy of promotion. But this movie I had to go see because I wanted to see the world the best I could of what Jesus grew up under. And that was Gladiator. And I didn't see Gladiator and watch the Gladiator. I saw Gladiator look behind him to see the world that my Jesus grew up in. And was that not a brutal world? Brutal world. I'm so grateful after seeing that movie that Jesus wasn't born in Beverly Hills. He was born under the iron beast of Rome. And that thing had ways of torturing people. And it had this thing called the cat of nine tails. Imagine a piece of wood through my arm right here and then going into the crook of my arm toward my elbow. It's a piece of wood about that long, and it had a ball on the end, and then it had nine leather straps that came out from that ball, 18 to 24 inches long, those straps were. And embedded in those fine straps that could really go through the wind well because they were fine straps was fish bones, glass, and rock. And by the way, it just so happens that all of the angles of those pieces of tool, that when they went into the back of the victim or to the chest of the victim, I'll just act it out for you. Think of that thing in my hand. The soldier was trained on how to deliver this blow. His left hand would go forward like a guy was going to pitch a ball. He would go like this and swing his hand down this way, almost like a discus guy, right? And bring down that cat of nine tails across the victim's back. In such a way it lands, what he does now is when he brings it down, he then pulls like a lawnmower. Like you're going to start a lawnmower? He goes down and pull, down and pull. Until, as it was, Josephus said, the victims of flogging, their backs and their butts were ripped down to where meat was hanging behind their butt and down their back of their thighs. Ribs were exposed and lungs were seen. See, all of a sudden, you and I have no idea, right? We can't fathom that. Say, well, this is sickening. What are you saying this for? Because it is. We need to see what our Jesus did for us. Listen, if you were never born, my sin did this to him. 43 years of sin before I came to Jesus Christ. All the party, playing around, goofing off, all the stuff. Sin. Jesus took that upon the cross. And now that I don't want to sin, but I still sin, he paid for that too. And you know what? Next week or next month or 10 years from now, should he not come back, he's covered that too. Who can do that? Only God in human flesh can do that. Amen. He died for the sins of the world. Nobody. Nobody could die for us but Jesus. No one else. It was altogether violent. Horrible beating. What's in Pilate's thinking? Because you're going to hear him three times say, I find no fault with him. So why beat him? Come on, you're the ruler of that part of the Roman Empire. Stand up. Who is Pilate? Could I be a Pilate? Could you be a Pilate? To vacillate back and forth. I see no fault with him. But then go ahead, you crucify him. I see no fault in him. Scourge him. What an absolute lunatic. Or was he so plagued with the fear of what people thought about him? He wanted to hold his office. He wanted to please the people in front of him for fear that they might contact Rome and say, you know what? Pilate misrepresented and didn't handle the throne right regarding this man, Jesus. He ought to have died, but Pilate let him go. Rome, investigate. He was scared. So Pilate's thinking is, let's be violent. Let's beat him to an inch of his life. And the people must have compassion on him at that point. And he'll go away. Listen to this injustice. He'll go away scarred for life and maimed and probably never the same. Could even die. And I'll be off the hook and these people will have had their thirst for blood appeased. No, my friend, God was at work. Secondly, verse 2. The way to the cross is no place for just any man because it's altogether a path of mockery. Mockery. Violent. Verse 1, mockery, verse 2. So now the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns, a Stephanos or wreath. And by the way, those things are 2.5 to 3.5 inches long, those spikes. They're huge. They're throughout Israel. They're amazing. You can bend, by the way, the branch and even weave it. And you can even tie it in a knot. We did it on our last tour. Tied it in a knot, you can make a perfect wreath. But those thorns, you don't even want to touch them. They're that sharp. I kid you not, like a needle. That sharp. By the way, if there's any mystics in here, you might enjoy this. Jesus was crowned with a crown of thorns. When did thorns come into the world scene? In the garden from Satan. Sin, it represents sin. Jesus, so to speak, is now wearing the crown of sin. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus puts on, so to speak, this crown of thorns. But you know, all that's going to change in a few hours. And not only that, I say a few hours back then, but also that's going to change in the near future. I've told you this before. I'm going to say it again because I love the thought of it. We might love Hawaii. We might love Bahamas, or you pick your place, Cabo or whatever. You just love it. Or you love the mountains, or you pick your love. Well, you know what? It's great. In the millennium, God is going to reverse the curse of sin. When Jesus Christ comes back in Revelation chapter 19, he's going to sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem, which he has not yet sat on, and he's going to establish and rule and reign from Jerusalem. Okay, check this out. The book of Isaiah tells us that he's going to cause the deserts to blossom. Oh, really? Well, how's he going to do that? There's nothing out there but a bunch of cactus. Exactly! Do you know what a cactus is? You know what that little that spike on a cactus is? It's an underdeveloped flower blossom. So in the millennium, everyone's going to want to go camping in the desert. It's going to be the most fragrant, beautiful place on earth. He's going to cause the deserts to bloom. He's going to reverse the cause of sin, the results of sin. Right now, he's got this crown upon his head. And another gospel tells us that they took a staff and they beat that thing into his head. Can you imagine the blood? He's already been mutilated, and now they're whacking on his head with a staff and a horrible spike. It's sickening. And they make fun of him. They mock him, put a crown of thorns on him. The Stephanos, they begin to make fun of him. The Stephanos, by the way, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, Paul says at the end of his life, and he's obviously gotten word, by the way, I love Paul's faith. Paul had been told just prior to 2 Timothy 4 that apparently he's going to lose his head. He's going to be beheaded. Man, this is faith. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the Stephanos crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. By the way, there's a radical theological truth right here. Paul always spoke concerning the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle believed in the rapture of the church at any moment, but it wasn't until 2 Timothy 4:8 that he says, who have loved, past tense, his appearing. He knew he was going to get his head cut off. But what's he say? I get a crown. Paul, you crazy nut, they're going to cut your head off. Hey, the world I'm going, buddy, I'm going to have a head, fingers, everything fine. The world I'm going to, I get a crown, a Stephanos, a wreath, a victor's wreath. It's an Olympic wreath. It's the Stephanos given after you've completed your course. After you've completed the race. You run the race, you win, they give you a wreath. That's what you got in the ancient Olympics, was a wreath around your head. You get a crown. And the Bible says that we're going to get a crown. Do you know that? Now, I had somebody tell me, Pastor Jack, that's really nice, but I don't want a crown. And, you know, it's just like, it kind of drove me nuts because here's what the thing was. I don't want to get a crown because I don't want to take away from the glory of Jesus Christ. Oh, look, you know what? You can have 50 crowns and you ain't going to take away from his glory. Okay, so get that in your head right now. And the second thing is, he wants to give you the crown, so take the crown. Why? I'm too humble to have a crown. Listen, buddy, take the crown because the Bible says that when we fall before him, before that great and awesome throne, we're going to take our crowns and cast them back at him. We're going to go zinging them back right to him. And believe me, you want a crown to zing back to him. Nah, it's okay. I don't want a crown. Take the crown and give it to him and give honor and glory to him.
One of the beauties of Scripture is the way it's laid out. You see, after all the blood and sin and loss and carnage, after all is said and done, it's a happy ending. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, as he continues in his journey through the Gospel of John. It's a sub-series called The Way of the Cross. Today we heard the first half of Part 4. This is quite a long series, and you're invited to pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org and listen to the entire series called The Way of the Cross. And in fact, the entire Gospel of John, for that matter, as we journey through this New Testament narrative. www.realradioactive.org. You can also contact us by telephone, which is area code 909-393-7100. Again, area code 909-393-7100. And remember, especially if you've been a listener to Real Radio for some time, that this program is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your support. If you'd like to become a team member, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And by the way, all of this information can be found at www.realradioactive.org. So just pay us a visit and find out more. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. Until next time,
We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.